Hello there, welcome again to Seven Laws Blog UK. I am David. Yeah, I'm just David. Otherwise known as Hesed Yahu or Hesediah. And today's post is called Why Would a Person Who Doesn't Accept Israel's God Keep the Seven Laws? Again, why would a person who doesn't accept Israel's God keep the seven laws? They keep saying it's unlikely or even impossible, that the chances of it are so remote that people ponder why it's even mentioned. I mean, you must know of God or Torah to keep the seven laws. You must. And yet the logic, the reasoning of such people who hold this view, rabbis included, seems wrong to me. I can hear someone say, David, do you have to take a dig at the rabbis with every post? Well, no, I don't have to. But I'm not talking about all rabbis, but as they're there, in a place of high respect, and pushing this nonsensical way of thinking, why not? A friend of mine thinks it's a pipe dream for a Gentile to keep commandments while rejecting the God who gave them. And I'm sure many agree with him. But I wouldn't be creating this post, I wouldn't be talking about this, if I were among those people. Why talk about something just to go with the flow? So why do I disagree with such thinking? A simple answer would be that I believe such thinking to not be based on the Seven Commandments, but rather on the religion that more modern rabbis, Jews, and their Gentile followers have built around the commandments. For a certain group of people, the seven laws are more like statements of faith rather than a standard for behaviour. And you may be able to see where I'm going with this or where I'm coming from. When I see the statement, seven commands were enjoined upon humanity, I don't see the following. And God spake these words saying, I am the Lord your God, who called you from out amongst the nations, from the other Gentiles. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You must worship God, and on that basis, keep the following seven commandments. And I also don't see the following. It was enjoined upon Gentiles to know God. It is commanded that non-Jews must keep the seven commandments because he commanded them in the Torah, telling Moshe that Noah's descendants were previously commanded to keep them. I see nothing of the sort. When I see seven commandments were enjoined upon humanity, I see that there rests an obligation upon all non-Jews to keep the seven laws, the Jews having been set apart by a different body of divine laws for themselves. And that latter part, the separation of the Jews by means of a different body of law, is very important regarding a non-Jew's obligation and the Jews. I put it to you that it was the Jew that was commanded by God to know him. That's according to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 35 and 39, but not the Gentile. I put it to you that the Jew was given commands to worship God at various times, but not the Gentile. I put it to you that the Jew was given the command to love God and not the Gentile. And I put it to you that the Jews have this divine command and not the Gentile. not the non-Jew. And it is apparent and clear, based on the fact that their whole nation experienced God in a most direct way, having a tradition that was passed down from generation to generation, a part of their factual history. The non-Jew does not have this history, does not have this tradition. So there would be something inane about making knowledge of God, the worship of God, and love of God a most basic obligation for Gentiles. But what are the obligations? What are the divine commandments upon Gentiles? Here we go. Firstly, there's a command to set up systems of justice, a prohibition against perverting justice. Two, there's a prohibition against cursing God's name. Three, a prohibition against actively worshipping idols and aspects of creation. Four, a prohibition against murder. Five, a prohibition against certain sexual partners. Six, a prohibition against theft. And seven, a prohibition against eating meat taken from an animal while it was alive. Now, there's something strikingly obvious about these universal obligations. God does not demand for a Gentile to know, love, fear, or worship him. I believe it's hard for an ex-religionist or a Jew to take this on board. The Jew has this command, he does have this command, and it should be part of his psyche, something indelibly written on his heart, rehearsed as he goes through the written Torah during the yearly reading cycles. He knows the fundamental importance of God, and it may seem incongruent for a Gentile not to be commanded to recognize the cause of all. For the ex-religionist, for whom devotion to God is like breathing air, something that should be so natural, it may seem like an utter uprooting for a positive command to acknowledge God to be missing from the obligations he places upon his creation. Now, one of the best articles I've read is by Rabbi Israel Chait, and it's called B'nai Noah, The Religion, The Danger. Again, B'nai Noah, The Religion, The Danger. What I say next is not a quote from the article, but it's what I get from the article. There is always a temptation to add to God's commandments, to improvise, to improve upon them, to add rituals and commandments, to fill some perceived void. Someone who loves God will feel something missing from the Gentile commandments and feel the urge to overstress the need for the knowledge of God until it becomes a command. But it never was. Someone may crave some ritual to signify one's yearning for spirituality, and the Jewish Sabbath is for the Jews, duh. So there is a desire to create a seventh day celebration or think of a universal Sabbath. But God's commandments, in a way, say no to this creative urge, this overspill of desire, and demands a person rein in their own urges in order to direct them to walk his actual path. Echoing this, Maimonides teaches, or Maimonides, is it Maimonides or Maimonides? Anyway, one of them teaches the general principle concerning these matters is the Gentile is not to be allowed to originate a new religion or create religious commandments for himself based on his own decisions. He may either become a righteous convert and accept all the religious commandments, or stand and remain in his own Torah, his own law, without adding or detracting from them. That's from the Mishnah Torah, Law of Kings and Wars, chapter 10, law 9. Personally, I see how Rabbi Chait's words reflect those of Maimonides. So for a Gentile, there is no positive command from God to know, fear, or worship him, although Jews and Gentiles try to add it. Since the seven commandments do not enjoin acceptance of God's existence upon any Gentile in the world, but it does enjoin the avoidance of certain actions from the peoples of the world, then that is the basis from which a Gentile can be judged their actions. In other words, as a friend of mine would say, the seven laws are about correct actions, not correct beliefs. Therefore, that makes it possible to not know God and yet live in a way that accords to the seven commandments, thereby living according to the obligations that exist objectively, regardless of whether a Gentile accepts God's existence or not. But someone may say, but such a Gentile won't get a place in the world to come. I can hear that argument already. It's such a shame that there's such focus on reward. I won't argue with it now. My focus is on the obligation, the commandment incumbent on all Gentiles. I'll let God deal with the afterlife. Let me bring it back to the subject of this post. The question was this: why would a person who doesn't accept Israel's God keep the seven laws? I'll ask the question more specifically. Why would a person not do acts that pervert justice without being commanded? Why would a person try to be fair and support fairness in his community? Why would a person not curse God's name without being commanded? Why would a person not actively worship an idol or an aspect of creation as if it were God without being commanded? Why would a person not steal or murder without being commanded? Without command, why would a person not have sex with another of the same gender, or another man's wife, or a close family member, or an animal? Why would a person not eat meat taken from an animal while it was alive? Now, for each of these questions, I believe introspection and an examination of different peoples in the world gives various answers. I believe Maimonides' words are suitable enough. It's just an individual's mental convictions or intellectual leanings. Some could say, it's just how I was raised, how that person was conditioned. Some would say, it just goes against what I feel to be right. Or doing such an act doesn't make sense to such a person. Or it could be that a person thinks that the world would be a worse place by doing these acts. It could even be that the idea of such an act didn't even enter their mind. When it comes to cursing God's name, you need to have certain ideas about God and experiences in life to even consider doing such an act. When it comes to having sex with animals, some people would have no idea why a person would do such a thing. Such people may never have heard of creation's God giving instructions against such acts, but some internal or external component in their lives means that they avoid the forbidden act. And that's all the core commands of God demand of Gentiles. Remember, them the minimal, the bedrock, not the totality of Gentile morality. So, as I told a friend of mine, a person can choose not to do actions that pervert justice, and thereby he fulfills the law of justice without belief in God. A person not knowing God, or just not believing in him, can see no need to curse him by his name. He fulfills the law against cursing God without belief in God. A person can respect no God, and thus give no worship to any false God. In fact, A person could seek gods around him, but just not be convinced that they're of any worth. And because he doesn't worship them, he fulfills the law against idolatry without belief in God. A person can kill no one, and in that he fulfills the law against murder without belief in God. A person can steal from no one, and in that he fulfills the law against theft without belief in God. A man can choose not to have sex with another man's wife, or with another man, or with an animal, or with a family member. And because he doesn't do it, he fulfills the law against forbidden partners without belief in God. Is that so difficult? Sorry, I'm going through this whole list and I think to myself, right, so is it that natural for a man to try and have sex with somebody else's wife? Is it that natural for a man to want to have sex with another man? Or with a beast? With a family member? I just don't know why this is so hard. Anyway, so hard for people to understand. Anyway, a person can simply think it's cruel to hack off, I need to change that, hack off the limbs of animals, and that it's distasteful to eat such meat. A person may not even knowingly eat such meat. You know, a person can even be vegetarian. And in this, he fulfills the law against eating such meat without belief in God. In all these things, this person fulfills the seven laws without belief in God. They keep commands of God who they may not even accept. I look at all these fulfillments of law and wonder to myself if self-proclaimed Noahides and Jews think all Gentiles are so depraved as to need external commands, accepting the truth of God, to avoid these actions. Or it may be more innocent that they think that simply avoiding these actions is not the actual command, but rather God plus avoiding the actions is the actual command. But as I've stated before, God and or the Talmud states what the actual objections are, and they don't include an obligation to accept God's truth, God's existence. One Jew attempted to argue that acceptance of God's existence was assumed and thus not related clearly, but the following example shows such an idea to be lacking in merit, lacking in substance. For example, let me look at the difference between a Gentile divine command and a Jewish one. So here's the Jewish command. You shall love God with heart, life, and substance. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. And then there's the Gentile command. Don't actively worship aspects of creation. Now, the question, here's a question. What does loving God necessarily presuppose? So that's the Jewish command to love God. What does that necessarily presuppose? What's the unstated assumption? Answer, the acceptance of the existence of God. You need to accept God exists in order to love him. But now let's look at the Gentile command. What does not bowing down in divine reverence to an idol necessarily presuppose? The answer, it can only be that the individual does not accept the divinity of the idol. The reasons for the rejection could be many, and not necessarily the acceptance of God. And that is the difference between the clear and stated assumption in Jewish Torah law and the lack of such an assumption in the Gentile seven laws. So to conclude, the notion of a Gentile without or rejecting knowledge of Israel's God, without the notion of the Creator giving instructions, fulfilling the seven laws is not just theoretical, it's not a pipe dream. Once it is accepted that the seven commands mainly prohibit action and do not include a positive command to accept God's existence, then a person fulfilling the requirements of the law becomes not only a reality, but a way open to many a Gentile, even ancient ones. It's bound to come up though. What's the point in avoiding such acts if a person doesn't accept Israel's God? Other than the fact that it can make a person's life qualitatively and morally better, let me end this article with a quote that is very applicable to this article and to the question. And this comes from Rabbi Yoel Schwartz's piece called Noahide Commandments. This is what it says. There is sometimes an opposite process when outside actions, not connected or controlled by the person, influence the internal thinking of a person, as is explained in Sefer HaChinuch number 16, explaining why the Torah has so many practical precepts. And it says, know that a person is governed by his actions. His heart and all his thoughts are influenced by the actions that he is involved in, be they good or bad. Even a wicked man whose thoughts are concentrated on doing evil all day, if he should start studying the Torah and mitzvot, that means commandments, even if he's not doing it for God's sake, he will start acting in a more positive manner. This is because the heart goes after the deeds. The same holds true regarding a righteous man who lives according to the Torah and the commandments, but makes a living from dubious transactions. Or if, for example, he is forced by the king or ruler to deal in such dubious matters, he will eventually be transformed from a righteous man to an evil one. And that's the end of this post. Appreciate your time. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great day or night, wherever you are. Thank you.